YOLO. What up, Fred?
I guess we're
His
up
kiss was slow, but firm and unyielding, like an old man backing his Lincoln Town Car over a handicapped parking sign.
Say that again?
What? No, I'm not going to.
I mean, I guess with that, we're off and running on a somewhat disjointed episode of the Unattached Podcast, question mark.
This is episode 28, I believe.
Yeah, so it's still pretty disjointed, but regardless,
yeah.
I am the 2020 Gasparilla runner-up, Spencer Mahan.
Damn, I am on the rise TikTok star, Shrey Daddy, otherwise known as Shreyas.
And I am a car guy without a car, Tyler.
So I guess we're all giving ourselves nicknames.
I mean, yours has the biggest clout easily. I mean, you just said you're a runner of a freaking half marathon, so.
It's got to be a new one every week, though. So
yeah, we have to
use that again.
That's how we're starting season three now.
It's done, been said. All right,
I have to come up with creative things now.
Yeah, you gotta work the brain a little bit more. Sorry for some delay.
Brain, so.
Yeah, sorry for some delay. Folks, we've just been lazy and not really worked it out, but
there hasn't been really a lot happening.
Yeah, there hasn't been much happening, and it's also been quarantine, so like, I mean, that said, I feel like we could slowly transition into, you know, on weeks where we don't have news, kind of just shooting the shit a little bit more, but yeah.
I mean, this week we'll very much be shooting the shit, but that's towards the end. We'll make you guys wait for it.
Yeah, just a little bit. And yeah, Spence, why don't you kick off with whatever you got? Because I know Tyler has been talking a lot about Christian Coleman this week, and I will continue to hunt Let's Run for stuff.
All right, so.
First of all, Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. All right, go ahead.
This is where this story was going, first of all.
Oh, so, convenient.
Big news, well, within the Northeast Ohio running community, two former University of Akron runners, Jeremiah Fitzgerald and Nick Strickland, started a run in Tuscarawas County at the Zorville Trailhead, which is the southernmost point of the Ohio Canal towpath, which runs 88 continuous miles from Zorville to Cleveland. So they set out to run 88 and 90 miles, 88 for the 88 men and women killed by police brutality in 2020, and 90 miles. This all ended at the Jesse Owens statue, and these had dual causes. One was for mental health awareness due to something very personal that happened close to one of those two guys. And then the other, I feel like, was pretty apropos for the time. And I mean, It was freaking awesome what they did. I was able to catch them at about 78 or 80 miles in, and they looked pretty good. They had a whole crew rolling on bikes, and it was something so unique and special too. And a fun note, these guys completed the 90 and a half miles from Zorville to the Jesse Owens statue, which is in downtown Cleveland, in 17 hours, 55 minutes, and 45 seconds. That was elapsed time.
Holy shit.
Yes, that was elapsed time from start to finish. Their moving time was something around 12 hours, 57 minutes. But they just finished the campaign over the weekend, and they raised over $6,000 for mental health and for Black Lives Matter. So I wanted to lead with that story and just kind of let that one marinate. And I mean, with the times these guys, especially with the cuts that the University of Akron has proposed, I feel like their program, which was already in the limelight, was put in the limelight for a much different and more wholesome reason. And there's every reason that Jeremiah and Nick's story should be out there in the world. I know Chase Easterling did a video on it, and I actually ended up snagging a spot in his video, fun fact.
Nice.
You all you need to do is look for the blue plaid shirt with the khaki shorts and the mullet fade. So yeah, Chase did a video on it, and they were covered by every media outlet in Akron and in Cleveland, and even further, really, because this made regional headlines. And
damn, I didn't know it was that much. That's sick.
Did you guys talk about it on the radio?
I don't know. We didn't talk about it as much on the radio, but I know it was mentioned a lot in print and television media, because I believe they had an interview with every local news station, which is 3, 5, 8, 19, and 43. 43 is a subsidiary of 19, for those of you who don't know Cleveland area media so well.
Mm-hmm.
But they were on every single news outlet.
Nice.
For pretty much 24 hours straight.
That's honestly really great news. I mean, I'm glad it's getting the media attention it deserves, because, I mean, much of the media hasn't been paying attention to much of the continued Black Lives Matter movement. So,
oh yeah,
and not to mention for like running news as well. That's like a good thing. So,
yeah, for sure. And another thing that I want to mention is in the lead up. So in like the 2 or 3 days before, they were getting a pretty good lead up, especially from Channel 8, which is mm-hmm. Fox affiliate, and P.J. Ziegler, who did a really phenomenal job of helping tell the story. P.J. Ziegler is one of the main sports anchors for Fox 8 News during PM Drive. He was on a live stream with both of them the day before. It was 4:30 in the afternoon when this stream went live, and it was about 5 o'clock when I caught it. It was about 5 minutes long, so... You know,
pretty short, but I mean, still coverage.
Yeah, I mean, like, still they covered it, and you know, it's a Fox 8 live stream on Facebook, so you know, a lot of people are going to end up seeing this, regardless.
Yeah.
So, I watched this, you know, five and a half minute live stream video clip, whatever you want to call it, and you know, they have like the replay, the live comments. And one of the comments said, "Why don't you run for traditional Judeo-Christian or like American values or whatever?" I'm like, wait a minute. You want to run for traditional American and Judeo-Christian rights? How about that? I actually did say something, and I mean, it was after the fact, of course, and I mean...
Square up.
I mean, I pretty much said, "Hey, how dare you fucking speak to my friends like that?"
There you go.
You have no right to tell them what they can do. That's just your privilege. Your white fucking fragility and your white fucking privilege speaking.
Looks like we're starting the Antifa terrorist part of the podcast. But I'm into it.
I always think it's super funny. Yeah. I always think it's super funny when people like froth at the mouth and like pretend like there's no such thing as the separation between church and state.
Yeah.
And they act like there's only like one religion.
It's only crazy. One religion, man. What are you talking about?
Yeah, like you can't respect my Judeo-Christian values. Like, do you respect other religious values?
Nah. No one needs to do that.
I mean, I got into a coworker's Facebook comment section, and there was this
we don't need to talk about all of the online.
Yeah, there's plenty of
there's too many to get into.
Yeah.
But I mean, I just want to highlight this one really quick, and this guy's on the same side of the fence that we are, and I mean, a lot of the people that actually work at my job or on the same side of the fence. This guy
is. You're just talking about like general shit, right?
Well, when I say this side of the fence, I mean more liberal than conservative.
Mm-hmm. Okay, got it.
So, there's this guy in my coworker's comments section, and he's basically worshiping at the feet of Donald Trump.
As we should.
Hashtag not a cult.
Go on.
Let me pull up some of the things that this man actually said.
Oh, God. All right. In the meantime, go do that, though. But, I mean, I just feel like that's going to take just a couple.
We do have track news. It has been 12
minutes. I'm not doing track news. I'll pull up this stuff, and when we get into the latter half of the podcast, I'll cover this.
All right. Sounds good. All right, what we got? I mean, the biggest thing is Christian Coleman news. I feel like at least that's the biggest hot topic right now. So I know Tyler's been on that this entire week. So why don't you take
it? Yeah, I've been listening to all the, you know, the Flow Track podcast and then the interview that they had with him and then the podcast after that and then the podcast today. But they actually didn't talk.
Are they daily?
They are weekdays.
Oh, okay, got it.
I'm not sure if they miss weekdays sometimes, but mm-hmm. it's usually every weekday. I only listen to the ones with Kevin Soley on them.
Oh yeah, because he's a better broadcaster by far.
Because he's a baller, and he's on the House of Ron too.
I also listen to him.
But Christian Coleman, you missed another test, I guess.
Yeah, that's three, I believe.
That's three total. Since the one that got backdated, didn't count at all. But it was he missed one more test after those last two that we talked about last year that he almost got suspended for. He misses his third.
That's like how, bro?
Yeah, it was in December. I'm not sure the exact date. I think it was the 9th. There's a lot of stuff to talk about it. So Christian Coleman says that his testing window I think was something like 7 to 8 or 7:15 to 8:15, something like that. And he said that he had went to the mall earlier in the day, or like around, you know, probably like 5 or 6 or something to buy a suit. And then he said that he made it back because and then he chose his testing window because he wanted to be there for Monday Night Football, and that he was just sitting around eating Chipotle at his house.
Seems legit.
Yeah. So he says that he did not get a knock on his door, and he also says that he didn't get a phone call at the end of the testing window that he usually gets if they don't, you know, catch him in time if he gets back a couple minutes late or something like that. He said that they have called him every other time to make sure that, you know, so that he doesn't miss it, which is also kind of weird to me. If I'm missing the first part of the window often enough to where I know that they usually call me at the end of the window, you've probably missed the beginning of the window quite a few times.
It's like you'd maybe just even check, you know, just like, uh-oh, did something go wrong? Like, this is a normal thing. What happened?
Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, he says he didn't get a call at the end, and then it says in the report that they had instructions by the client, I think, to not call him. Which he
that
said
was supposedly his father, I believe.
Really?
Yeah.
This is the first I'm hearing of that.
Okay, then I may be talking about the wrong thing. I'm scrolling through that right now, and I'll go back up and check.
Oh, okay. No, you're good. I only know the things that have been said on the Flow Track. I have not read any articles about it.
Mm-hmm.
And from his interview, in which he, you know, states his, I don't know, conjecture, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So he said that he got an email the next morning, and he was just confused because he thought that he had been home the night before during the window, and that he, you know, what he thought that he should have gotten a call or something. He has since purchased a Ring doorbell just to make sure.
which is just a very funny piece of news to consider.
Yeah, which is, yeah, it's just kind of funny. It's just like, on one hand, you want to believe him. Like, I was there because he says in the report that it says a different address than his actual address too. So he wasn't sure if, you know, the person was actually at the right house or the right apartment. I think it's
which just seems very odd though, because you've been at the same place every single time. Why would it suddenly change without any notice?
They hire out different. They hire out different companies to, like, administer the testing.
Well, I mean, that makes sense, but at the same time, like, it's consistently going to be at his place, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I just feel like there's... I mean, you're obviously going to say this too, but there's just too many points where it's like, it's been an existing pattern. Why would you not be wary of the fact that, you know, it's suddenly broken and, like, take action?
I mean, I've heard Clayton talk about this more than once. And
Murphy?
Yeah, Clayton Murphy. You can.
For those who don't know, Spencer is now in the good books with Clayton Murphy, so he's a badass.
He follows him on something.
On Instagram.
That's pretty cool.
But I mean, like, you can hear Clayton, like, at least once a week talk about this, and he does a track on him. Kind of like a podcast type deal with a guest every Thursday, and he always asks his guests, what do they do for the whereabouts window? And
what do they say normally?
First thing in the morning. You know you're going to be at your house first thing in the morning, and usually the first thing you do is piss or shit. So, so
eloquent.
Just why not just make it first thing in the morning? It's one of the easier ways to avoid whereabouts failures. And there are times where athletes, you know, if they, for some reason or another, move across the country, like, and they fail to update their whereabouts, that's an honest mistake.
Yeah.
And, like, that shit happens more times than people can count.
But it's like that, I mean, that... those circumstances are very clearly an accident, and, like, the person is taking every action to rectify the situation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Christian Coleman has taken a provisional suspension. He's agreed to it. I think, like, a month ago, month and a half ago, something like that.
Yeah.
He said.
How long is it?
Well, they don't know
yet. It's 6 months. I thought they said it was 6 months. Like, he would still be able to try for the trials. That's what Let's Run is saying, at least.
What day is that?
What day does it end?
No. What day did they... What is that posted?
Oh, this was 4 days ago. So...
Jamin posted something 4 minutes ago, too.
4 days ago, not 4 minutes ago. But I don't know if that's outside the window of where your last information was. We'll figure it out.
I'm trying to look for it right now. Let's Run defaulted to, like, the main message board.
Yeah.
And I saw it was something that was posted by Jamin 4 minutes ago. You know Jamin.
Right. I want to say, apparently he's actually nearby, so I kind of want to see if I can finesse a run with him at some point.
Jamin?
That'd be pretty dope. Yeah.
The Let's Run legend?
Yeah, the Let's Run legend himself. I want to see if he will do a 20x400 workout with me. I want to be educated in the knowledge of Coach JS. The superior god magic wizard.
What does he do with his time? I wonder.
I truly wonder.
He's gotta be somebody like really famous, like in disguise.
Yeah, I can see that.
Right?
Seems legit.
Or do we actually know who he is? Does anybody know who he is?
I'm not sure. Who, you mean Jamin?
Jamin.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, well, I think he goes by the name of Jamin just on Strava though, so I don't know if that's actually an indication of anything. But yeah.
So he's not famous, darn.
Yeah, I think he, well, yeah, at least I don't think it's like famous and anonymous type thing. I don't know.
I can you link this stuff? I can't find anything.
I mean, I
hate
that. I just posted because I'm a moron.
In terms of famous, I don't think it's Clayton Murphy famous.
I don't know, because like I mean I think that's just like a matter of like environments, right? Because like someone famous to me, like for like if I think of like a music artist where it's like in my head on some degree, like let's say Jeremy Zucker is like fairly popular, but that's just because of like all the media that I consume. So like I think he's famous, even though he's actually a pretty small time name.
Yeah, I've never heard of that person before.
So yeah, he's a music artist. I would recommend checking out his music.
I was gonna say, by that standard, if you look at YouTube, I guess I'm the famous one of the bunch.
Yeah, okay, but Spence, your name is also on like 18 different websites for like runner-up or winners of said races. So by default, you're already far more famous entering this. So I mean, even your YouTube subscribers is still higher than my TikTok follower count.
Most of those subs are dead from COD.
Oh, it's fine. Most of mine are 100% dead from either being a bot or like a 13-year-old child.
What kind of
I have
bot?
like 25 followers just from commenting things.
Oh yeah, and yeah, Tyler's comments actually goes off.
I
It's
haven't
pretty
posted a
cool.
video.
Well, he posted an Animal Crossing one, but then
Yeah, but then I deleted it because it had 6,000 views, which wasn't enough.
okay, screw you, Tyler.
Dude, I'm waiting for the day that Tyler posts a siren beat TikTok.
I could be famous, but I don't want
Yeah,
to.
Tyler could very much be famous. I feel like his comedy aesthetic lines up very well with what's enjoyable on TikTok.
I would like join Hubert Industries.
Yeah, you join Hubert,
Do
probably
something
throw
like
in
that.
"The World Shall Know Gorilla Pain."
Like the guy who all he does is work at Five Guys and be sad, but he like pretends to be happy.
Yeah, that's
That's the worst. I still don't know if that guy's kidding or not, but
TikTok comedy is honestly like it's once you get to the good stuff, it's honestly like a world apart from normal comedy. It's very high tier, excellent content.
I know what's his real name? I have no idea, but Hubby or Hubert.
Yeah, cute pics a little Uzi.
Yeah, he's actually like famous on Twitter.
Yeah, he is.
He got suspended though, which is
Oh,
hilarious.
F and Chat for QB.
At I Love Smoking Mid on Twitter, he's the reason why I want my license plate to be in pain.
Oh, I figured that was because of Elliot.
No, he actually has that license plate, but he's in Utah. So anyway, I'm talking about this guy like I actually know him personally.
Yeah, moving on.
So the
But I just follow him on
impossible
Twitter.
What'd you say, Spence? You were a little distorted there.
So the impossible games happened.
Oh
Do
yeah.
we
What
even
the
want to
hell was
talk
that?
about that?
So they ran a socially distanced track meet on the day of the Bislett games. And well, it was something. It was something to
Anything,
watch.
were there any records? That's all I care about. If not, then we'll just let people find the news themselves.
I feel like we didn't give. Yeah, didn't Jacob break the European record in the
Was Philip in the 1,000,
2K?
and then in the 2,000, I think Jakob broke the European record, which I think was held by Steve Cram.
I feel like we didn't give very useful information about Christian Coleman.
I mean, well, I think it was just a discussion of like the idea, because I mean, I don't think there's much information to give beyond what potentially FloTrack has given, and even like right now we don't have it, but I feel like people trust us enough to know what we're going to be opinionated about it.
Even if we had insider information, I would still say take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, so
I
I mean, the
mean,
biggest thing is just that, we provided our opinion, which I'm pretty sure is just the
have they
norm, but
actually
whatever.
decided on how long his ban is, though?
No, I couldn't find that anymore, so I think I'm just tripping. That's probably it.
Ban, I think, is usually anywhere from 6 months to a year.
Yeah, I think he said in the interview that he has seen people get suspended for a year for it, and since he
Yeah.
accepted the provisional suspension like earlier, that he would probably be fine by the trials. But we'll
Yeah.
see. I mean, he could just be straight up, you know, suspended for 2 years.
Because
that's what I think is supposed to happen. But it almost never does. It's just...
It doesn't happen unless it's agreed with.
Yeah.
They said this on the House of Run podcast. It's not really fair for us to, like, say, like, oh, well, he's already, you know, like, almost been suspended.
Mm-hmm.
But he got off on a technicality or whatever.
That's fair. I mean, at the same time, though, we can still give our opinion. It's still
part of the rules.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just... Still, I mean, you come that close, and then you know, like you find out, and you talk about how they usually call at the end in case they missed you, like that. Just, I don't know.
Something isn't lining up here.
Yeah.
It's just on whose side doesn't it line up?
Yeah, I have no clue. Very strange. But I mean, this happened in December, though. Like, the Olympics were scheduled to happen. So, like, well, what's going on where you're not, you know, in December, where you're after two, you know, missed tests, that you're just like that lax about it, you know, in late December? Why is this, you know, like, why is this coming out now? Why didn't he, like, the day after say, like, you know, I was here's my, you know, cell phone health data, like my iPhone health data, or I don't know if he has an iPhone. I would imagine he does. Like it says that I took steps, you know, here at my house, at this time. Like, prove it, you know, on Twitter the next day, like immediately. I got some conspiracy theories about that.
Speaking of conspiracy theories, I mean, I would like to hear about that, but Do you wanna talk about Pizzagate real quick?
No, it's
impossible games.
Pizzagate sucks, yeah.
The impossible games sucked. All that happened was Jacob Ingebrigtsen broke the European 2K record, which isn't a real distance. There, that's it.
But they also raced a team in Kenya 10,000 meters or 10,000 kilometers away.
Yeah, and that was recorded the day before. Doesn't even matter. They ran like 10 seconds slower and at altitude. Come on.
You're not wrong there. You're not wrong.
Pizzagate is an alt-right conspiracy theory created in 2006 or around 2016 on 4chan. That is basically like all high-ranking, you know, basically everybody in power, you know, like Ellen, Oprah. Yeah. I said in power, like those people are in power, but like Hillary Clinton, Obama, are all involved in some like child trafficking ring that is like so out there. But it's picked up a lot of traction recently. I don't know why it's going. I think it's going around again because this is a, you know, another election year. But I'm surprised that, you know, the alt-right hasn't come up with a new conspiracy theory about, like, Joe Biden or something. I don't know.
I honestly just hope Pizzagate was going to be about, like, pineapple on pizza or something.
It's...
And then you inform me that it's this nonsense. Why is it called Pizzagate?
It's called Pizzagate because there's some sort... There's, like, some pizza shop somewhere that, like, people think is a front to... I don't know.
I can hear absolute resignation and hatred in your voice.
It's so, the amount of things that would have to be true and not found for this to be real is astronomical. Like, this is like two steps removed from lizard people. It's, I don't know.
Okay, since we're on this now, can we just devolve a little bit more?
Yeah, I think Spence wants to go full Antifa right now. FBI, watch out.
I want to say my Christian Coleman conspiracy theory.
Okay, hit it.
He was doping anyway because he's the fastest man in the world, and this is the same thing that happened with Usain Bolt, and he missed a test because it wouldn't matter because they would have wanted him to run anyway. So that's the reason he didn't say anything about it the day after and try to fight it immediately, and he waited for now, and the only reason that it's coming out now is because the Olympics have been postponed.
Ripperoni.
That's
invalid.
I mean, it's a conspiracy theory that I feel like not a lot of things would have to be true for it to be true. You know, all mm-hmm. that would have to be true was that the governing bodies would want to protect the number one runner in the number one event in an Olympic year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Wackadoodle.
All right,
yeah, the only thing I got before you go full spit flying from the throat. Just a little update on Chaz and stuff, because I know people were interested in that in the Discord, and I hadn't really been catching up much, but I decided to do some for the podcast. No, not yet. I was planning to this week because I have my online classes start. So like all of that stuff kind of just put off me being able to go there just on a whim. So I will, if I can, sometime this week, probably like Thursday or something. But basically it's now been rebranded as CHOP, known as Capitol Hill Organized Protest Area. Because I think they wanted to sort of adjust the name a little. So that way it's a bit more popular across more moderate Democrats. Because the implication of an autonomous zone makes it really easy to brand them as like some sort of revolution in the middle of Washington, which is not what it really is.
I don't know, man. CHOP sounds pretty bad to me.
Yeah, CHOP sounds kind of whack, but it just sounded cooler. It's just like it's a cool Chad. But that's it. Yeah, I guess it's like a one-off where at least now people know it's called organized protest or something. It's branding is a whole thing, but whatever.
Yeah.
But basically, they're still kind of going, but now the Seattle mayor has said that the Seattle Police Department is returning towards the East Precinct building, because the whole reason why this happened is that the Seattle Police retreated from the East Precinct, which gave them the opportunity to say, okay, now the area that was covered by the East Precinct Police is now going to be the autonomous zone. And that's basically how they determined what the autonomous zone was. And so now the police are planning to like go back in and be like use it as a proper facility. And so because of that, the CHOP area will technically end, but I mean, obviously they're still going to go through with the protests and stuff. So I think it's just really interesting. I think it's going to be interesting how they try and transition back, because I feel like that's just begging for a much larger scale riot.
Disaster. I was
curious for that. They've already like painted over like the brick entrance basically and been like Seattle People Department, East Precinct. They've like boarded up the entire entrance. There's like a wall of people that are protesting them coming back. It's like this whole thing. But I mean, I think it's just, yeah, that's going to be a mess if they actually manage to do it. That said, I think on some degree, maybe CHOP has made its point within Seattle. I'd have to do some more information on that. I don't know if it's made much of a dent in the public eye about the ideas that it's trying to protest for, but I think at least Seattle. Say what?
Over Fox News.
Yeah.
Man, so I'm gonna be real. This entire podcast, you've sounded like you're underwater.
Okay. Really? I mean, to me, he sounded all right. Just I couldn't hear him now and then. But I guess maybe back off from the mic. I don't know.
Unless you're far away, then get closer.
I mean, I'm not really far away. I kind of started leaning.
Oh, there we go. There's okay. A sweet spot right there.
All right, then I'll just stay here then.
Yeah. Damn. But yeah,
I'm sorry. To the listeners, I always forget that we don't really cut things like this, and I just say them.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
like most podcasts would like cut this out. And
not
like,
really. Right. I mean, Spencer, have you listened to any of the Tiny Meat Gang podcasts yet?
I have not.
Okay, I'll send you. There's a video that I found that's just like 5.5 hours long, so it's a lot easier to listen to in snippets. And I'll send you like the highlights YouTube channel. But basically, it's 5.5 hours of like the best bits from the first 100 episodes. And so I feel like if you just like throw that on in the middle of a run or something, or like throw that on while you're just chilling and like listening every now and then, I think you understand the appeal.
Fair enough.
But yeah, no, they don't do anything. There's one whole episode, Tyler. I don't know how far you are. But there's one episode where, like, literally for about 5 minutes, Noel just takes a call with his manager, like, on air, and, like, just starts using, like, code words to avoid saying, like, whatever is important information.
Who's his manager?
I don't know. Some lady. I think it's the manager for both of them. I don't know. I think he might have a personal manager, but unsure.
All right. Can you tell me what Spock does?
Oh, Spock is just, like, one of their good friends, and he produces music. So he helps produce. He helped produce their entire first EP.
Oh, okay.
I believe most of the original Tiny Meat Gang Deluxe album. Yes. Their singles, not so much. That belongs to the producer named Diamond Pistols. He does a lot of their stuff. And as they're signed to a label, I think they'll have some other stuff, but who knows? And yeah, so Spock pretty much does that, and he's just been a longtime friend of Noelle's. And then, like, he ended up just being a mutual friend of Cody and Noelle through separate means. And so now they all just, like, chill together, and that's basically it.
Okay, that makes sense.
He's just tall Jesus to their short king something.
Is he tall? I've never seen him stand.
He's tall. Yeah. If you see, there's some videos in the old days where if you just see him stand up, where like Cody and Noelle are both like about 5'7", 5'8", and Spock I think is like 6'1". So
I thought they were like 5'8" and a half, 5'9".
Oh no, it's 5'7" and a half, 5'8".
Really?
Yeah, it's in that range. I know because Cody flexes his half inch of being 5'8" over Noelle being 5'7" and a half. Yeah. But yeah, there's our little tangent about other podcasts who also are equally as unprofessional as us. But I'm moving on.
I can thank my girlfriend for introducing me to Tiny Meat Gang.
Oh, you can't give us the credit? What the hell?
And your girlfriend can thank you for introducing her to Tiny Meat as well.
Oh, well, it was her first, then it was you guys.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Oh, yeah, that's true. I mean, if you were talking to her for a while, then yeah, there's potential there. By the way, still back off from the mic. I think I kind of get what Tyler's talking about now. You just sound a little, yeah, a little bit, but you still sound kind of muffled. You're just all up in the mic.
It's. I feel like it sounds like as if Spencer has like a large
he has a COVID mask on,
like over top of him or something.
Yeah.
Okay, is this better? I moved the pop filter away.
No.
Oh, so much better.
Really?
Oh, I can't tell. My headphones are shitty.
Oh, yeah, no. That's your clarity just, like, skyrocketed, dude.
Okay, then it definitely was...
Yeah, move the pop. The pop filter should be at least, I think, like, about 5 to 6 centimeters from the mic. And then you want to be about, like, a hand's distance away.
Okay, is this better?
Wait, yeah, your clarity at least is a lot better, and you don't sound muffled as much.
Okay, that makes sense. I had the windscreen, like, right up on the microphone.
Yeah, it was probably just, like, brushing against it.
Okay. All right, can we quickly devolve into,
Oh, yeah, we got, first of all, let's just get this out the way before we start. I'm never going to get angry when I see a K-pop fan cam tweet again, or at least not for the rest of the month, or maybe the rest of the summer. I'll give it that much. But K-pop Twitter has really done the most for Black Lives Matter.
Dude, TikTok also had a role to play. Let's not forget.
Yeah. True. I mean, yeah, it did. They did, so.
6,100 and, like, 80 people, okay?
Yeah. Compared to, like...
My dad's like, did you see that place? It was sold out. I'm like, the building was 30% full.
God.
The building was 30% full. Think about it.
Was it actually 30% full?
Yeah, there were only 6,200 people. I think, like, they tried to, like, downplay how bad it was. Because I think they had, like, well over, like, 600,000 or something, like, listed. And then
that's because of the overflow zone that I've got taken over by Twitter, right?
Well, yeah, that was partially that, but I mean, like, K-pop Twitter got it up to like 300,000 by themselves before anyone on Twitter noticed.
Wow.
And then they tried to downplay it on the news by saying I think only like 19,000 people showed up, but it was a third of that.
It was less than a third of that.
Yeah,
32.63%.
Yeah, not even a third.
Poor Donald's crying.
The funniest thing that I saw was that somebody had a picture of a Wiggles concert that was completely full, and they said
it was in the same venue.
This even costs money.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, that's so good.
But yeah, not to mention that venue was full.
It's rough. Did you see the one TikTok guy, Nick Videos? He publicly said that he's no longer a Trump supporter, which is crazy.
We love character development.
All right, I'm ready to devolve.
I wonder what.
Wait, how many times are we gonna say we devolved? I thought we devolved.
We're always devolving.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, when I say devolve, I mean devolve in the sense of the podcast as we get deeper and deeper into the supposed left wing media.
Yeah, I always got that Everstone on me. Don't worry, Spence.
Oh God. Yeah. No. Okay. First of all, okay, we're not crazy. All right. As most of you, I'm sure, on the Discord know, we're not the type who are going to, like, immediately go off on you. This is not the reactionary left podcast. I feel like I need to clarify that because I guess in recent times I've seen a lot more radical reactionary lefts interacting with me that I didn't know existed, and I'm just like, bro, we're not insane. All right? We also have our questions and stuff. We just, you know, have some degree of human empathy, and hence we happen to land on the unnecessarily politicized left side of issues.
Most things are very complicated.
Yeah.
There's three sides to every story in this case. The right, the left, and the truth.
I'll go with humanity.
There are pros and cons to just about every single thing that you can decide on, so.
Yeah.
Take that into mind before we begin this. So, Jackass of the Week goes to this guy who was on my coworker's Facebook thread, and I happen to have a media bias chart from 2018 on my phone just because I've seen it shared quite often, and I posted the picture with the caption, "Enjoy this picture." This is a fairly accurate depiction of news sources. Look where Robert got his sources. The Hill is a conservative skewed source. This is a fact. All of his sources come from the green rectangle. That's what we call, and say it with me, real news. Where's your news from, sir? InfoWars?
They're turning the freaking frogs.
And he's like,
I don't see the hey, for the record though, I don't see the frogs complaining.
The frogs are not complaining because they don't know how to speak a fucking lick of English. Anyway.
No, that's not the reason. There must be another reason.
So Jackass over here comments, corporations own all those media outlets mentioned. I'm like, okay. So what you're saying is that every news outlet on the chart is lying in some way, including Fox and The Hill and the rest of them. That would include InfoWars, in this case, the most extreme conservative out of the entire chart.
Doesn't a corporation own every single major news outlet? Isn't that how
this works?
News outlets and corporations work?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure that's how the media industry works. But I guess I know nothing. So, after that, I'm like, so this includes Fox and The Hill and the rest of them, ellipses. Something doesn't sound right here. And then he had the fucking cojones to say, it's also funny that this homemade graph depicts liberal-based or liberal-biased media stations as neutral. I should mention, and I did in the next comment, and he also responded a second time, and he said, correct, they are owned by corporations projecting their agendas. So he's trying to pass himself off as an independent.
Bro, you can be a moderate, but just, I don't like people who like pretend to self-identify as moderates because they think it makes them more like aware and they're somehow smarter than the rest of us.
They're not.
Yeah, I'm like, Brett, you don't just land in the middle. You just happen to like, you just enjoy identifying as that so that you sound libertarian, and then you can remove the blame whenever you say those statements where it's like that you don't care enough about it.
It's like when people say that they're fiscally conservative and socially liberal.
Yeah,
what they really mean is that there are inherent injustices and biases and what's the word I'm looking for? Cut this whole thing.
I was gonna say fundamental flaws in the system.
There are systematic and systemic issues, but I don't want to address any of it or spend any taxpayer dollars on it because I benefit from the systems.
Yeah,
like I as a white man have quite a bit of privilege, and I could very easily say, let's not have affirmative action so I have a better chance of getting a job or something, because objectively I may be more qualified. But if you take somebody from 15 minutes away from me from inner city Cleveland who got the same GPA and the same ACT score and has all the same things as me, I guarantee they worked harder for it. I can guarantee it.
Yeah. It's like, this thing, it's like people, affirmative action just is like, yes, it seems to, you know, make it like positive towards them, but it's like they had to work harder to be on the same playing field because they didn't have the same opportunities on the way up in their educational system. Like,
well, to argue from the other side is that it like affirmative action in things like college, the college application process, they say that it brings down graduation rates, which it does, because objectively you are accepting people who are less likely to graduate, but it is giving a higher total number of opportunities to people who otherwise would not have an opportunity to, you know, go to college. So, I mean, I would rather have there be more opportunities than have a graduation rate higher, because I don't really think a graduation rate matters all that much in terms of a couple percentage points.
A high graduation rate doesn't always mean a high success rate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just something that a college wants to brag about.
Yeah, anyways, I mean, that's numbers. And back to what the guy said, so he's like, correct, they are owned by corporations projecting their agendas, which this is probably the only thing that he said that's correct. Yes, that is true. So I then asked, I'm like, so where do you get your news then? And I also mentioned, since he decided this shit on the graph, which was made by an independent company, I said, I should also mention that this is not a homemade graph. This was made by an independent company. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how you can call yourself informed if you get your news from the president when most of what he says is factually inaccurate and flat out incorrect.
Not to mention incredibly biased.
Also true.
Just inherently biased.
And he comes back and he says, who says I get news from the president? I, however, don't choose to believe what the left media has been brewing for 4 years. I'm like, okay then, cool. Where do you get your news? Now, keep in mind that that's the third time I've asked this question.
Breitbart.
And I said, this I'm genuinely curious. There's sides to every story. What's yours?
He gets it from Facebook.
Here we go. Right on cue. Most of my info comes from private individuals on social media.
I have no hope for this country.
Oh, God. Private individuals on Twitter. You gotta love that, man. They're just so bold with it. They don't care.
And then he says, if there is an article I take information from on a news source, I Google multiple articles of the same story. I take a general consensus of what's going on. I don't like to be spoon-fed information, but I find it on my own. He has not responded since about 12:45. And I said, I do too. If I see something I don't believe, I look for a right-leaning, a left-leaning, a neutral, and a moderate right source. Notice that I look at more right-based sources than left, because neutral is both, moderate right is one, right-leaning is two. So there, if you look at it, I'm looking at 2.5 each, roughly. Because I hear information from the far left because I have someone in my house who is part of the far left or identifies as the part of the far left. So I don't even mention it in this comment, but I'm mentioning it here and now. So I hear everything, or I try and see as much as I can. So I mention where I get most of my news sources, and I continue by saying, I by no means am spoon-fed any sort of information, but I don't back Trump. Neither does The Hill, which is a conservative-leaning source. I get more news from the right than the left. You didn't really provide an answer to my question, though. Let me rephrase it. What sources do you get your news from?
This is what we call the Dunning-Kruger effect.
Why don't you tell us what that is?
No. No.
It's for you youngins.
It's where people who are bad at something or dumb think that they're smart because they don't know that they're not because of ignorance. Whereas people who are smart think that they are dumb because they know that there is a lot more to learn.
Yeah.
I mean, you could see my side on the Dunning-Kruger effect. You could say I'm dumb. I don't give a damn. You could say
is why I think I'm ass at Rocket League.
Shut up. I'm furious anytime you say that.
Terrible.
Yeah. Tylerism is really good.
For how much time I've spent, I'm terrible. But
I don't know. Tyler, I'm pretty sure I can bet that, I mean, okay, at least when we first met, I could bet for sure I had more hours than you on Rocket League, and you were still better than me.
You think you have more hours than me?
No. I think I had more hours than you, like, when we met, like, about 8-ish months ago on Discord. If not, actually, it's been much longer than that. It's been almost a year at this point, but
I had more. Probably 1,500 hours.
Yeah, I definitely had at least that much. I know for sure I had 1,000.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so I'm still pretty bad.
Moral of the story, do not get your information from Facebook, please.
Don't get it from Twitter. Don't get it from fucking Instagram. Don't get it from Tumblr. Get it from Forbes, Wall Street Journal, The Hill, ABC, AP.
You can get it from Reddit. You just have to realize that Reddit is inherently slightly left.
Yeah.
In you know, like, upvoting things and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, like, all the sources I mentioned are either from the right or they're from the actually, all of these are from the green rectangle. Some of them are conservatively skewed, but most are in the little area that falls in neutral. But they all fall in the area that is represented as, say it with me, folks, real fucking news.
No, everything's fake.
Everything is fake. We all don't exist.
This is a simulation.
We're all a facet of our own imaginations. You guys are just other parts of my subconscious.
Yeah. No, this podcast doesn't really exist.
Yeah.
Also, fun fact.
Time is a flat circle.
Your conscience speaking to you.
Okay. Go jack off. Your body replaces the atoms in it so often that you're not even the same person that you started off as. Nothing's real.
It's like you shed your skin. You go from, in 3 days, I'm going to be Tyler, and then I'm going to become, and then Treyas is going to become a figment of Tyler me's imagination. That's how it works.
Okay, also fun fact, I saw one of my college friends shared something on Facebook. Now, this is from Business Insider. Karen. So there is a Karen involved in this story.
Hell yeah.
And VP Mike Pence voted by mail in April from a mansion they haven't lived in for 4 fucking years.
Damn.
And he says, and I quote, "Vote by mail fraud from the Republicans who constantly complain about it, like always. Hypocrites."
Mm-hmm.
You know, I might have to re-register for my new house, now that I think about it, so I don't commit voter fraud. technically.
I mean, if that's how we're looking at this, I guess anything's voter fraud. I did an absentee ballot because I had to, and I guess I'm fucking committing voting fraud. If that's how the president wants to look at it.
FBI arrest us.
Like,
we're committing mail fraud. Let's go.
This is.
You realize how ridiculous that actually sounds?
No, I know. Go ahead.
You guys know Jordan Klepper, the guy who goes to Trump rallies and like talks to them.
Oh, the guy who does interviews.
Yeah, yeah. He talks to them about how much they love Trump.
How do you tell?
The guy who had like Trump that bitch on his shirt, and he was talking about how much he like respects women or something. He was talking to a woman, I think this was him, about voter fraud and how the left, you know, commits so much voter fraud. And she was like, "Oh, I committed voter fraud." And he's like, "What do you mean?" She's like, "I voted twice. I'm still doing community service for it." And he pretends to be, you know, into Trump and like right wing when he's interviewing these people so that he can get like crazy responses out of them. And he goes,
"Yeah,
wow, I'm stumped here because I thought it was the left that was committing voter fraud." And he just like stares at her. She's like, "Oh, I." It's hard
dude,
to watch.
That shit is fucking hilarious.
God, Connor O'Malley, dude, is amazing. Connor O'Malley and Jordan Klepper.
Yeah.
Incredible meta stuff that they got going.
I mean, I thought the Facebook argument I had was some pretty good meta, just presenting a bias and saying, or a media bias chart and saying, "Enjoy this picture. Let me know if you have any problems, dickhead."
Yeah, it's like, bro, that's my favorite thing, where it's like their immediate attack is that, you know, we're not using the right data, or like we're incapable of reading what actual statistics look like.
What data do you use? I want to look at it. I want to see what
you're getting. Yeah, or you're getting it from a non-credible source, and then they, you know, you ask them what they get it from, and they're.
No, my absolute favorite is when they show a different statistic that's like, "No, you should see this population," and then you go to the same link, and then you go into the footnotes, and you're like, "This is data extrapolated for roughly 1 million people from a sample size of 23." It's like, bruh, it doesn't work like that.
My favorite.
We went to Alcoholics Anonymous, and we wanted to find out what percentage of Americans were alcoholics. Let's take a sample. 100% of the 30 people sampled. We extrapolated the data. 100% of Americans are alcoholics.
That's a really good bit.
Come on.
My favorite argument is the Facebook Fred that I got in an argument with.
What is that?
I'm just using that as like an alias for the guy, so I don't actually reveal his identity.
Huh.
So Facebook Fred in this situation works. But he's my favorite type of person to argue with. "Oh, I get my news from private individuals on social media." You're still not naming who, bitch. Tell me who.
Yeah. It's like,
I want to read their shit. I want to attempt to see what you see. That way, instead of, you know, being unconstructive and not helping anybody, myself or you included, or the betterment of humanity for that matter, and sitting here behind our fucking glowy screens and arguing, I want to see what you see. I want to read it. And if I see something, at least what I think is wrong or is factually fucking incorrect, I will say it to you. Now you can choose to take that or leave it at the door. From there, I can't control what you do. If you just want to be a fucking Karen about it, then fuck you.
Somebody that I saw the other day linked a link to an indictment against, you know, for Pizzagate.
For Pizzagate, lovely.
Yeah.
I haven't heard about the indictment.
Well,
I find this very amusing.
Yeah, it was addressed against, is it the complainants were, is that the complainants and the, I don't know. It was against, like, Ellen, Harvard, Hillary Clinton. It was like a crazy list of things, and they linked this to me, and I was like, "Yeah, you can fill out whatever you want, and it'll show up on the government website." It doesn't mean that they went to court over this because this is ridiculous. And it like listed were like that they were like, you know, saying we're guilty of this, where they like super general stuff like the USA. Child sex trafficking ring. I was like, come on. You can't link me this and show me that this is your proof for Pizzagate. You just don't know how this works. Oh, I hate it here. I wish people were capable of critical thinking. I wish it was, it needs to be
like, once again, more. Critical thinking and common sense are hereby recessive traits in the genetic gene pool. So when we say we don't want you to reproduce because you're being stupid, I quite literally mean I don't want you to reproduce.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that can go for 38% of this country.
Yeah, please don't reproduce. We already have population issues as it is. Let's at least try and go for people who, you know, can exhibit a fraction of brain power somewhere. That's my favorite thing, is they always call us sheep, and I'm just like, you are a cult, you idiot.
They call
cult cult following that's basically like sheeple.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like
they tend to call people on the left sheep when none of us are flocking behind somebody with no, you know, just like no thought to why we shouldn't be, like, not questioning anything. It's
also I
hate it here.
I want to throw something out here today. I watched three different TED Talks that all involve like
I'm losing hope.
Oh, I am too. But I watched three TED Talks. One was Daryl Davis's Why as a Black Man I Attend KKK Rallies. That was actually really good.
He actually does that?
He did.
Why?
He actually got the national leader of the United States Ku Klux Klan to step down, and he then gave him his robe, and he showed it at the end of the presentation. But, like, the whole talk, it's very, like, enlightening as to why him and Roger Kelly, like, somehow became friends and like, made it work. Because the story ends with Roger Kelly eventually stepping down from the KKK after leading it for a number of years. And it's a very different and unique story. Then there's Christian Piccolo, I think is how you say his name. A much lesser known guy, but he was 14 when he descended into the skinhead and neo-Nazi movement of the United States. And then there was another guy, David Ickard, and that was about whitewashing Black history. And the David Ickard TED Talk, he talked about how his 9-year-old son had to go and correct his teacher about Rosa Parks and that whole story, because there was some gaps that were missed, and obviously, you know, teacher's very smart, mid to late 20s, one of her first jobs, she's doing a fairly good job, and a 9-year-old not only corrected her, but the teacher then, to make it up even more, pretty much do one better, is teach another lesson on Rosa Parks as to where the gaps were filled in, or like fill in any missing gaps of time that she had. And, you know, it like it's just like subtleties. And then Christian's was very similar to David's, but it was the story of how he got out,
mm-hmm.
and how he's helped hundreds of other people like him who are neo-fascists and neo-Nazis to exit the neo-Nazi movement and, you know, see like a person with fucking humanity.
I'm going to be real. I've been talking about this shit with people all week, and I do not want to talk about it anymore.
No, I don't blame you.
I don't know.
It's
about,
honestly,
know
it takes
guys.
It takes so much effort. No, I mean, it takes so much effort to just, like, keep talking about it when, you know, on one end we're preaching to the choir, and part two, like, all we're doing is just venting our frustration at people who make us stupid.
When you said it takes so much effort, I immediately went to the TikTok.
Which but TikTok?
I'm feeling like Floyd in this Mayweather.
It takes so much effort to produce a smile these days.
That's Hubie.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, like,
it's incredible.
That's 100% true, and like, it's taken a lot, for me to share some of this stuff, just so I, not so much as like return my feed to normal per se, but just like, you know, keep it circulating.
Yeah.
Because like,
no, it's definitely still going on.
And I mean, that's the most productive thing that all of us can do is, you know, keep trying to make these efforts, because it takes a lot of people to make change. And a lot of people marched with Martin Luther King, and yes, laws were changed, but as the story goes, like, the more things change, the more they stay the same. So laws change, but the idea of the racist ideology evolved. It evolved with the laws, so they can somehow sneak it around. And there was another thing that I read that my sister gave me, and this was from historian Jared Yates Saxon, which was also really good. And it's like a 44-tweet essay that you can find on his Twitter, JY Saxon. I don't even feel like jumping into it, but, you know.
Yeah, listen, now we're also on time, so.
Yeah, I was going to say we're pretty much out of time at this point. And I mean, we've preached to the choir for probably the past 35 minutes about this.
I just took an iron pill, and I can already feel the red blood cells coursing through my body.
It was actually EPO.
I injected it. Erythropoietin.
ATF.
Yeah. Yo, why don't you take the L for the team and be like, hey, I just injected EPO, so because of that, I'm now banned from USATF, so let me just take on Christian Coleman's ban and let him compete again.
I'm sure that you know should do that.
Yeah.
Right?
Say what?
So I think Nuno should do that for us.
Yeah, damn. I'm gonna drop the N-bomb in there, and I'm just like, no, bruh, don't. Whatever, that's a whole other thing. There's something else in my mind, and I completely forgot about it.
I mean, he doesn't care.
Yeah, I know he doesn't. He literally messaged me, like, oh, you again, what is it now? And I'm like, oh, nice, dude's got some sass in him at least. And I was like, yeah, cool. Me again. I was like, yeah, me again, no N-word. You understand, like trying to talk to him like a little kid. And he was all sassy, and then he literally just replied N-word, like just typed it out. But like N-word, not like the actual word. And I was just like,
he said the word in chat.
Oh, he said the word. Yeah, he said the word non-running earlier this morning.
All right. I have no hope.
What?
It's whatever. Yeah, he.
I thought he was cool.
What? Nuno was cool? No, he's not. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, wait, Tyler, do you not remember that this entire podcast basically stemmed from the fact that we were all pissed about what Nuno said?
Well, and I mean, so he had some terrible fucking absolute ass takes about, like, doing drugs, but, like, other than that, original, I thought that he was, like, fine.
The original name of this podcast was Extremely Hot Correct Takes About, what was it, Extremely Hot Correct Takes.
It was hot but correct takes or something.
I thought that he was like, yeah, I don't do it anymore. Like, it doesn't really matter that people do it because so many people do it. It's like, it's a terrible take, but like, he doesn't do it anymore. And I was like, oh, okay, fine. Like, he's all right, I guess now, you know, or whatever. Like, there's got to be a reason he doesn't, you know, still take it.
It's just like saying, you know, Asbel Kiprop did it 8 years ago, but he doesn't do it anymore. He's better. He's good. No. No.
I mean,
you do something
like
this, your fucking legacy is tainted.
No, it's because I don't give a shit about Nuno's. I don't give a shit about his results. That's the thing. Like, as long as we monitor and, like, say, like, no kids, no teenagers in the Discord, this is a bad idea. Don't do this. Don't even look into this. It's fine. Because he's not, like, promoting it or anything. He said that he did it and, like, he has terrible takes on it. I thought, other than that, he was fine. I mean, he knows his stuff about training, sort of. So, like, but he's saying he's dropping M-bombs in the...
Yeah.
Is he, what's going on with that? What'd Ben say?
Oh, I don't think he reacted. I kind of just left it as ignorant. Like, I don't know. In the context, because I think he was talking about whether or not people can say it and how in Portugal it means nothing. And I'm like, I don't really care about that, but... I don't know. I think I was just too lazy to think about how badly I cared. But yeah, the second I see something else, I think I'm just going to immediately kick him because I think we've given him enough rope. So.
Yeah, that's. Come on, Mod.
Sorry. Yeah. Well, this morning I was in particularly zero mood to deal with that. But
Ben, hire me.
If he was any more something, I guess, I don't know. Then yeah, I mean, he was already on thin ice, but I think it was both.
Did you
like
delete
in the context? I was like, yeah, I did. So
okay, I'm sure Ben would be happy about that at least.
Yeah. But yeah. Oh well, let's call it there. Why don't you outro us, Spencey boy?
All right, and
how's you guys running, Ben? Or do you have to?
Not that bad. Still ass, but not that bad. I figure we skip the training talk for later. We got enough to cover and time.
I feel like we had.
Cut out again.
Yeah, okay. I was gonna say.
There we go. I'm using talk. Sorry.
What do you feel like?
I feel like. Well, number one, we don't even know when we're gonna race again. I have some ideas, but if there's a spike of like 800 cases, I'm probably not gonna race.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't deem it safe to do so.
Oh, I forgot. I'd like to shout out my friend Kyle on his sub-6 mile. He's been running a lot recently. He is not a runner, has never been a runner. He played basketball and he ran sprints, which doesn't count. And he ran a sub-6 mile off of no speed work.
That's actually baller.
Yeah, he only does tempos.
Commend the boy.
Which I can't imagine why he only does tempos, but it's what he likes.
If it works, it works.
What else we got? Oh, athlete special. Moved.
Colorado, baby.
Moved to Colorado.
Money. You think he's going Tin Men Boys?
No, I don't.
I don't
think so either.
He might think with him, which there's nothing wrong with that. But
I think he will start up. I think he will start up a running apparel brand, which he has already done. But he will get a storefront and then also probably sell like shoes or something there too. He's just going to open up a running store, I would imagine, at some point. That's my theory, because I don't know how into actual professional stuff he's going to get. He might be like a fringe guy for a little bit and then put all his effort into his brand. We've seen it happen before. So honestly, good shorts. I have a big problem trying to find, good shorts, and if he's selling some good shorts, he might be successful.
I mean, that high elite split like we like.
Yeah.
And
you got to be able to show that beautiful little, you got to show your beautiful hip bone jutting out the side. It's got to be an inch.
I just, running specific brands, the only one I can think of is Tracksmith, and it's just too expensive. For me.
No, it's quite reasonable, actually.
Nike's more expensive than Tracksmith. Put your head into your butt.
Yeah. Questionable, Spencer. Questionable.
Non-running specific brands that have, running sections, Adidas, Nike, Reebok, their shorts are just dog shit.
Yeah.
For the price. I mean, but that's the only option. So, if he can start up, an official, storefront, stuff like that, that'd be cool. You can also run in the meantime. I mean, it's not like people don't do that.
I mean, it's not like people don't have two jobs and run and, still make a life of it.
But with his Lyme disease that he got, I don't know how likely a Olympic trials spot would be.
See what happens in the next year or so.
Yeah. He did move down there with another guy from what's his name?
Virginia? Ari?
Yeah, Ari. That's what it was.
He moved down there with another guy who ran at Columbia too. At least from what I understand.
Yeah, it sounds super cool. Sounds like fun.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think everyone that they have out there, because when I watched the video today, it was him and Ari in one car, and Will, who I already mentioned, and two others, and I believe both, I think all five of them who went were D1, but pretty much everybody that went, is from the area or knows Spencer very well. So, they have, their own little collective that moved out to Boulder to train and do things. And, that was super cool. It was really fun to see their road trip. They actually road tripped right over Cuyahoga Valley National Park, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and they went through that big storm that we had that was only, it was, super thin. And if you went west to or east to west in it, it would only take 10 minutes to get through while driving. But yeah, if you were going west to east like I was, because I was driving home from Sandusky, I was in it for an hour and it was terrible.
All right, people.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see what Spencer Brown does. I don't know if any of you saw the finale to the Sub-4 story.
That was interesting.
Yeah, it was cool.
I found a new musical artist because of that.
Noise.
And it was the guy who wrote Old Time Johnny Francis. Say what?
I don't know. I was going to say, why don't you name drop the dude?
Yeah, Johnny Francis.
Do that. There's an outro.
All right. With that being said, we're going to wrap it up. That quickly devolved, but we got the train back on the tracks, I guess, at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But this has been episode 28 of the Unattached Podcast. I'm Spencer Mahan.
I'm Trey Sherum.
And I'm Tyler Bowman. And I showed this podcast to my pastor, and he used a turkey baster to fill my lower intestine with holy water and curry powder. Strike two, he said.